You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
I'm the human embodiment of that joking cheese wheel from the old Cheez-Its commercials.
Good choice. I'm Gordy. According to all known laws of aviation, there is no way that a bee should be able to fly. Its wings are too small
Stop.
To get its...
Didn't get very far.
I recognize the bee movie when I hear it. I do teach summer camps.
Did you see the suggestion?
Yes, I did, yeah, and I knew. Okay. And I knew.
All right. All right. That was a Maddie special.
Special holiday gift. All right, bee movie, what do we do in this show?
I don't know. You do it. Someone else do it.
We read folk tales.
I did it last time.
You do it every time. It's your job.
No.
That's why we pay you nothing. All right, so I'm going to read you two fools a fairy tale you have not heard before.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to interrupt me obnoxiously and repeatedly.
Perhaps with the bee movie.
Perhaps with that. You never know. Bee movie, bus, you don't know. I will try to steer you back on track, and we will rip this tale apart and put it back together for modern audiences because it was not built to withstand the harsh light of modern criticism.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to put it there like an interrogation seat thing. See? This is why you do it. It's your job.
When I go onto this website that has the B movie script, there's a pop-up that says, get a life and get off this website. And you just click OK, and then it goes away.
That's a good website.
It's considerate programming.
It really is.
Yeah.
I hope that it sends a weekly email to the director of the B movie.
The version that I found has no formatting. It is just one giant block of hell text.
I think that's the right way to consume the B-movie.
It's really bad to look at.
It is better than visually.
That is for sure. I would almost watch that Brazilian knockout off of the B-movie before I watch the actual B-movie again.
What are we reading tonight?
Tonight we're going to Iceland again.
Ooh.
It's holiday times. Getting pretty close to them at this point.
Next week will be even closer,
which is
when this airs.
Yule's at the end of the week of this episode's airing, Friday, I believe.
Okay.
So we're going to read a little bit about Yule.
Okay.
As celebrated in Iceland.
Sounds good to me.
So on the suggestion of Heather, we're going to be reading The Yule Lads, which was originally a poem. I am not going to be reading it as a poem.
Just a summary of the poem?
Yeah, I'm going to turn this poem into a summarized story for your listening pleasure. I completely forgot to do like index cards so I could show Gordy the words and have him just say them. So.
Okay. Tell me what the word is.
Jólasveinamýr?
No.
No.
No. You gotta show it to me. Or just like copy paste it into the group chat.
This is the Icelandic word for the Yule lads.
I would say Jólasveinarnir.
Okay. And this is the poet who wrote it.
Johannes R. Kötlum.
Cool. All right. Thank you, Gordy. So this was suggested by Heather, if I did not say that. And it's sourced from... Gordy, keep your phone on hand. There's a lot of Icelandic words. You got work to do.
From what?
This is the...
Tales of...
G.I.
Tales of Ingewulf?
Yeah. Tales of ingewulf.wordpress.com. And the English translation of this is by Halberg Halmansson. We have an executive producer this week?
We do. This week's episode is brought to you by Leo, a.k.a. a sexy dragonborn dad in the Discord.
Say that sexier.
A sexy dragonborn dad.
There we go.
In the Discord. A.k.a. Arn Thompson type 465D, you know. Quests for the impossible. I figure as a DM you would appreciate that.
Excellent. All right, so let's get into... this Carmen story translation of a poem translated by a man. Oh, originally written in Icelandic. So because this was a poem and the translation did rhyme, I imagine there are some discrepancies from the original Icelandic. I feel like making a rhyming translation is the hardest damn thing to do.
Sure.
Probably.
You gotta get a little creative, probably.
Probably. So
put
let
some
me,
nasty spin on that ball.
Some English.
Let me tell you the story of these lads of very few charms who used to visit our farms. These nasty boys.
Some shit kids. Coming down to farm town.
These nasty ass
shit
boys.
Shit kids in farm town. Yep. Merry Crimblus.
That's like a slant rhyme, right?
Yeah.
Shit kids.
Farm town? Yeah. Farm town. It's a heavy slant.
Pretty good at poems, y'all.
It's one of those death slaloms.
The slant is a 90-degree angle.
It's just straight down.
It is not one of those bunny jumps or whatever.
Dodecahedral black diamond. Black dodecahedron.
I've lived in Georgia my whole life. I don't know ski terms.
It's just plunging into the ocean. Really, it's more than it is skiing.
There were.
You start at the top of a mountain and you journey to the center of the earth.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser, sure.
Yeah, there's black diamond, double black diamond, and a picture of Brendan Fraser's face.
All right, so there are 13 of these shit kids, which I'm going to call them from now on because that's a cool name. They didn't want to irk people all at once. They wanted to spread out their...
Just a slow build to their mischief.
So they came from the mountain in a long single file line to the farmsteads. And one of these shows up each day for 13 days.
That's ominous.
In December.
Oh, they're spacing it out by day.
Yeah, like each of them gets their own special day of shit kiddery. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So they creep up stealthily.
The first day of shit kids.
The shit kid brought to me.
Whole mess of stuff, I bet. It'd be pretty good.
They creep up stealthily on the houses, unlock the doors, and they look for the kitchen and the pantry.
They do this in unison, right?
No.
Like they do the burglar prowl.
Oh, they prowl in unison, but each of them takes a day. So they get to the edge of the farm and then one gets to go day one. Their mom is Gorilla. She was the mother. She fed them ogre milk. Whether it's her ogre milk or if she's just got one out in the pasture, unclear.
I mean, is it hers?
It might be.
Does she have a Greg tied up?
For milking.
A milk ogre. The way you find on a lot of Icelandic farms. They got a couple big animals there. Reindeer, sheep, the little horses.
Milk ogre is a Pokemon, right?
It is.
It will be. Everything will eventually be a Pokemon.
Iceland is 8th gen, right?
Basically, yes. For the
We're
the most
discover
recent,
all the Pokemon in Iceland next.
The most recent generation, the next game. Yeah. The last one was Hawaii, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next one is just going to be in Iceland, and it's mostly
and they're just milking ogres up there.
It's mostly big ol' ogres.
Okay, the father was I'm going to call him Lepaludi.
I would say that as well.
And he just sucks. There's not a lot of description of him. He's just loathsome.
Beginning to see where the shit kids came from.
Yeah, they got a shit mom and a shit dad.
Piss parents.
Shit kids from piss parents. Alright, so they hide around with cunning looks, and they have their pranks ready to go when people aren't near. They're called the Yuletide Lads, because that's around
that's
the time
when they came.
And they always come one by one, never two by two. So you just have to deal with one a day, which is better than most rodents.
That's a slog, though. Especially this time of year when you don't want to deal with that kind of thing.
Yeah, like traffic's
bad. You're just
bad.
Cold and tired all the time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of work to do.
I mean,
and you have 13 days of shit kids.
Yeah.
This time of year, it is completely dark there as well.
Yeah. So I would rather 13 kids in one day.
Yeah, like give
just
me...
Just get it over
give
with.
Give me all the shit kids
I'd rather I'd rather just get it over with, I think.
All right, so this starts on December the 12th, which is tomorrow as of recording time. So Shit Kid 1 is Sheepcoat Clod. His Icelandic name is...
Sheepcoat Clod?
Yeah, Sheepcoat Clod.
Because he wears a sheep coat.
Stekjastar.
Okay. Or Stiff Legs. He comes stiff as wood to prey on farmer's sheep by suckling on their ewes. So he's going to...
Yum.
He's going to get some sheep titties.
For a whole day.
For a day of, of sheep boobs.
Is it the milks...
Yeah,
he wants, or is it like...
He wants anything but ogre milk.
Yeah, he wants sheep's milk, because ogre milk is real cheesy.
Ugh. Is it? Is it come out, like, curdled already?
No, it comes out string.
Ogre, is that where they get string cheese from? It's just ogre milks. Rapidly solidified.
But his stiff knees gets in his way, so he has a lot of trouble actually getting the ewe's milk. But he's just there, like...
Trying.
Being obnoxious on the sheep. Second shit kid is Gully Gawk, or...
Giliagar.
He's gray-headed, and he sneaks into cow barns from a craggy ravine, hides in their stalls, and steals milk while a milkmaid gives the cowherd a meaningful smile.
These shit kids are obsessed with dairy.
I mean, there's only so much to eat and drink there that is, like, naturally occurring.
I guess.
So, like, animal milks is...
That was a big one.
But every animal.
I do also like that his prerequisite for actually stealing the milk is the milkmaid, like, giving the eye to the cowherd. Like, oh, yeah.
What?
While the milkmaid gives the cowherd a meaningful smile.
Mm. That's, like, that's his signal to jump a cow?
That's what? The
What is he waiting for?
Is when she turns her watchful eye away?
Yeah, so she's supposed to be milking the cows, but instead she's flirting up because she wants that cowherd D.
That's...
And then he can take the milk.
No.
How long is the look?
And this happens at every farm, every year, on this day.
Remember that Herman Cain campaign ad where he just slowly smiled at the end? You know what I'm talking about?
Vaguely.
Google it if you don't remember it. That's what I'm picturing.
but a milkmaid to another cow guy.
Yeah.
All right, so next shit kid is Stubby, or...
Stufer.
He is...
I'm not positive that these are right either.
They're more correct than I would do. He is stunted and watching for all chances to whisk a pan away and scrape up the bits that are stuck to the bottom and the brims.
The milk bits.
It's like Steven Universe. He's all about those bits. He just wants the bits.
Whose milk is it?
It's just all the milks put together. They just heat it in a pan and that's dinner. It's just a milk mix.
And usually they give it to the cat.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. He's stealing the cat bits.
All right, the fourth is Spoon Licker.
Okay, this is a tricky one. I would say it's Furusleikir.
Who was thin like a spindle.
The Slender Man.
Yeah, he's the slender shit kid. I will let you interpret what this means. In the poem's translation, he feels himself in clover when the cook wasn't in.
Mm.
So he's nude.
He baiting in there.
Clover baiting.
He feels himself in clover. That's what else does that mean?
I don't know.
If someone said, "I feel myself in clover," I would assume they're handling their business in a field.
I think it's his whole body, though.
He just feels his whole body.
Yeah,
like just touches.
He's just one with nature.
He just does like that Ursula body language move.
Yeah.
In clover by himself.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
He's trying to get the clover's milk.
All right. So once he's done with that.
He's not.
He then steps up and grabs the stirring spoon in both hands.
Look, they all want milk. He's milking himself.
Yes.
Because it's slippery.
The stirring spoon.
Yeah.
From what?
Soups.
What's its stove?
Or milk.
The milk.
Everything is milk.
Sure.
Presumably he then licks the stirring spoon. The poem ends with him grabbing the slippery spoon. And either the spoon
they
is slippery.
They just want the mind to wander.
Or his hand is slippery. Leave it up to you. Okay, the fifth is Pot Scraper.
Potasleikir.
He is a funny sort of chap. When kids are given the scrapings, he'd come to the door and tap so they'd rush to see if there was a guest in there, and then he'd run to the pot and have a scraping fest.
To the pot?
Yeah.
Is it so, toilet?
No, I think this is like a food pot, and this would be this another is like...
the other different bits.
It better be one or the other and yeah, not both.
It's like leftover foods, I guess, and the kids are...
It's like the last helping.
Yeah, the kids are about to get seconds, and then he knocks on the door.
And he while scrapes all, like, the pots clean?
Yeah, he sneaks in behind them all. They're all like, a friend in the dark? For real?
Which is the one that just comes in... and takes a dump in their bathroom and uses all their toilet paper and leaves.
It's the 13th day.
That's the last one. It's just a little humiliation at the end.
I would like to propose that we call all second helping scraping fists from now on in this apartment.
Sounds so grim.
All right. The sixth shit kid is bowl licker, or...
different from the scraper.
Mm-hmm.
Aska slaker.
Bowl licker is shockingly ill-bred.
What does that mean? Whoa,
that seems racist.
Compared to the other shit kids.
Yeah.
Why?
He hides his ugly head underneath the bedsteads, and when the bowls were left to be licked by dogs or cats, he'd snatch them for himself.
So he's just shitty to dogs.
Yeah, which is the worst kind of shitty you can be, let's be real. Apparently, the Icelandic folk used to eat meals from wooden bowls, and they'd keep them, like, under their beds when not in use. So, he just goes and licks all their bowls. Okay. So, next up is Door Slammer.
What does he do? What does he milk?
Seems bad. Icelandic name is Hurtaskettlir.
He is a sorry and vulgar chap. When people would take a nap, he would cheerfully wreak havoc by slamming doors and making the hinges squeak.
Kill him. Fuck that guy. You don't do that.
Slamming doors in my house? Uh-uh.
When people are sleeping?
I don't think so.
Yes.
That's the worst.
So like, some of them at least like will do stuff that's... like, it's annoying,
yeah.
But you don't have to know that it's happening. Like, if they're scraping your pots out, okay... I don't want them to do it, but I can ignore it.
Yeah, I mean, it beats leaving it to soak for a night.
Yeah, I guess they kind of maybe clean it for you at the same time.
You just...
like a goat?
You just don that afterwards, and good to go.
Hearing loud noises when I've just woken up and am still very tired might be the most furious I've ever felt in my life. Like, I don't get angry that often. Like, legitimately angry at things.
That's certainly true.
Yeah.
But... That makes me want to kill.
I do not like loud noises, like sudden loud noises in general. Under no circumstances am I good with like sudden loud noise.
I keep getting those the like head explosion style dreams.
What? Where...
excuse me?
Well, there's
that's
like,
not a thing, is
you're
it?
You're a dynamite heady?
No, there's like a... as you're falling asleep, suddenly there's a loud noise, but it's just in your head. And it wakes you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of those recently where, like, there's someone just shouting in my ear.
That's this shitty kid.
But there's no one there. Yeah, it's shit kid for
kid
sure.
Him out, kick him out of the apartment.
So is the last time you were woken up by a loud noise when Cricket made the Chariots of Hell play outside of your apartment with a little spinny toy that she never touches?
Probably. At, like, 3 a.m.
Yeah. She's a shit kid.
She is a shit kid.
She can be.
All right, so our next shit kid is the Skyr Gobbler.
Skyr Gobbler.
He's an awful stupid bloke.
Cool.
He goes into the pantry and breaks the lid off of the skyr, which is a dairy product that looks a thick yogurt.
Of course
yogurt.
It is.
It's real good, too. They sell it here in the U.S.
Sweet.
It's like a thick yogurt with a lot of protein and not a lot of sugar. It's good for you.
Where can we find it?
Target.
Oh, really?
Kroger. Like, regular grocery stores. They don't all carry it, but...
okay.
If you're lucky.
Trader Joe's.
It took me
Joe's.
A long time to find anywhere that sells, like, Western European stuff, but there's a Taste of Britain store in Norcross, and they do carry black pudding, so...
yeah.
I'm gonna head there sometime later this week and get me some black pudding. So he breaks the skyr tub and gobbles all the skyr until he's about to burst, And so now completely full of scare, he starts bleeding and howling and groaning.
He does this every year.
Yeah.
With no improvement.
Right. He does. He does not learn from his mistakes.
He is an awful stupid bloke.
He is. Yes, indeed. Also, it's annoying enough that you ate my Good Times yogurt, but then you're gonna, like, pitch a fit about it.
Well, it's bad enough that you bled on the remainder and ruined it.
Yeah. All right, so our next one is Sausage Swiper.
Bugnekrykir.
Who is a shifty pilferer.
Shifty?
Yeah.
I feel like these sound like racist terms for a race that does not exist. Like
shifty is a word, though.
Yeah,
it is, but just like
it's
the overall,
it's a good crimes word.
It just means like a thief guy.
Yeah, it's just like the overall impression just kind of builds up.
I think these are just these are shit kids. Like these are various styles and flavors of shit kid. So he climbs up to raid food from the rafters.
Mm-hmm. He milks their pigs.
Was where the medieval Icelandic folks stored a lot of food.
Where they kept their pigs.
Rafter pigs. They keep the pigs both live and sausaged up there. So the live pigs get to see what's coming.
It makes the milk sweeter.
The pig milk?
The fear.
So he sits in the soot and the smoke on a crossbeam and feeds himself on sausages fit for gentlefolk, which he is not, because he's a shifty pilferer. All right. Next up, number 10, Window Peeper.
Glugagaigir.
He's a weird little twit.
That's a word for pervert.
A twit?
A weird little twit.
A weird little twit. Yeah, he's sure.
He'd peek through windows, basically to case the joint.
He's looking for lady milk.
According to one source, he just liked looking. He's not as greedy as his other brothers who take. He just looks. But if he does see
But he it, does relay the information.
If he sees something he likes, like a kid's toy that he wants, he will try and steal it later.
I mean, I guess it's good. It's not good at all. I was going to say, I guess it's good he comes like on the 10th day, but they all suck.
Yeah. All right. Next up is Door Sniffer.
Go to Thafer.
He is a doltish lad. Also gross.
Got that thorn in there.
Do they send all of the perverts last because they don't want to hang out with them?
I think it just escalates. Like, the crimes just get worse. He never gets a cold, but he does have a huge sensitive nose, so it's probably good he doesn't get a cold.
Oof.
He can sniff the lace bread or leaf bread or loaf of bread. I didn't copy-paste this one. I had to go look it up because the poem translation was just lace bread. So I was like, what's that? That sounds interesting. Found a recipe. Looks fairly simple to make if a little time consuming.
Yeah.
It's like a fried, flat, pancake-like bread. Or more like a tortilla.
Pretty thinner, good for sniffing.
Thinner than tortilla. Pancakes. But you, like, cut lace patterns into it, and then you fry them up.
How's the sniffability, though?
Probably pretty good. It sounds pretty tasty. I thought about making some for us here, and then I was like, nah. That's a lot of cutting little patterns into bread that I wasn't planning on at noon today.
And what if you summon the shit kids?
Yeah, I might bring it. Shit kids into this apartment. So he can smell those from leagues away and then run toward them as weightless in wind and try and steal them. Our 12th fellow is Meat Hook.
Meat Hook from Dota, maybe?
Roadhog.
Pudge is who I'm thinking of from Dota. Kjot Kroker.
Yeah, he's the most grungy of them all. He'd show up on St. Thorlax Day.
St. Thorlax? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Or St. Thorax?
Thorlack.
Thorlack.
Yeah, with an L.
I want it to be St. Thorax.
This is December 23rd. It's the national patron saint, Thorlack Thorlalson. Sorry if I destroyed that one.
St. Thorax, Bug Prince of Christmas.
That's a special I want to watch on the TV box. We got to do that Netflix viewing party soon. So he uses a hook to snag morsels of meat, but sometimes his hook is a little short.
Okay.
Make of that what you will. He like sits in the chimney and like snags it off of the... the roasting pit or whatever.
Get over here.
I mean, I I am imagining he is very Roadhog-like, and he just kind of bursts in and grabs meats on the hook, which does seem convenient.
Yeah,
it does. Because
sometimes meat is far away, and you just want to get a hold of it.
You would like meat to be closer.
I would like meat here now, please. And our 13th and final one is Candle Beggar.
Kerta Sneakir.
He shows up on Christmas Eve and trails after all the kids running around the farms with their candles, hoping to take one for himself. He
follows
candles
the kids.
Or kids?
Candles, I think. I don't think he cares
Are
for kids.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure. Alternative source from Wow Air magazine. Just for whatever reason, had a really in-depth article on the Yule ads.
Oh, sure, yeah. It's an Icelandic airline.
Okay. So they explain this one with candles were once the brightest source of light available to an individual person, so children longed to have their own candle for Christmas. Just a little bit of light, please. So apparently he longs for one too, but not for the light, for eating the tallow. They're just hungry, hungry shit kids.
Wants to milk a candle.
These children have an obsession.
So nowadays, some Icelandic children will leave a candle in their shoe by the window for him.
These milk freaks cannot be denied.
All right, so then on Christmas night, they'd all just, I guess, sit entranced by the lights and then trot off one by one. Their footprints in the highlands have long been effaced. Their memories have turned to image and song. And that's the end of the poem. I do have a little bit of further information on this one. Since we don't usually do, like, figures in folklore, we aim for stories.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This is a little bit more of the latter. So this poem was written in, like, the early 1900s. And it was, like, the poet lived from 1899 to 1972. So presumably the early 1900s and not the late 1800s when he was an infant.
Presumably.
Can't assume anything.
Correct.
But this was to, like, hearken back to the original Icelandic tradition of these folks, because according to the Smithsonian magazine, in 1746, parents were officially banned from tormenting their kids with the monster stories about the Yule lads.
In which year?
How is that for legislation?
1746.
Stop spooking children.
I forget the succession of kings.
So they've also mingled with the Santa Claus mythos.
Sure, yeah.
So now it's 13 days of potentially benevolent visits. Good kids will,
potentially.
Like, kids put their shoes by the window, mm-hmm. and if they've been good, they'll get candies and small toys and things in the shoes for 13 days, and if they're bad, they get rotten potatoes, which I think is super effective. Like, a way better thing than Elf on the Shelf or whatever bullshit we're doing here. Or, like, coal in your stocking for one day. Like, you still have the big celebration day. But up till that day, if you're a little shit, the shit kids will come and put nasty potatoes in your shoe.
I mean, that is a more maybe actionable thing.
Right, because, like, if they were a little shit that day, they just wake up in the morning to potatoes.
Like, it's a stern warning, right? It's kind of a shot across the bow leading up to Christmas Day. It's like if Santa had 13 forerunners. It's just like, hey, like, for 13 days before Christmas, like, these dudes are gonna scope your whole scene and they're gonna give you warnings if you're not acting right.
And I feel like that's a needful thing. I don't have kids and I interact with them on a teaching basis, so kind of limitedly. But I remember being a kid, and, like, that's a time of high adrenaline and a lot of extra sugar being introduced into your system.
A lot of stunts are happening.
And now that I'm an adult, even an adult without kids, like, the 13 days leading up to Christmas, you're trying to, like, get those last minute gifts wrapped, trying to bake a bunch of shit, you're planning out your schedule so that you can go see people. It's a stressful time, so
your
need...
Your milk is under lock and key.
Yeah. You're trying to keep milk in stock in your fridge and it keeps vanishing overnight. So, like, you need extra enforcers to keep the sugar-addled scream children in line for just those last 13 days.
Like, just whatever chemicals will kind of keep them in line so you can get all this stuff done.
Not chemicals, potato threats.
And ABC Family's Harry Potter marathon's not going to do it anymore.
Yeah, you can get away with that once.
They've built up a tolerance.
They've read all of J.K. Rowling's tweets. They're souring on it. They're starting to have questions about inclusivity at Hogwarts.
And also, they started doing that at Halloween, too, because there's a Halloween scene in there, so it's not special anymore.
Harry Potter?
Yeah.
There's an everything scene in Harry Potter for all holidays.
That's why TV channels love it, because you can play it any time of year and have it be an event.
Oh.
And you can just keep doing that for a decade. Yep, so that's them. Do you have any discussion points for the Yule Lands?
I have questions about it.
All right.
That I think we can dig into.
Please.
Do you think it is better to just let the Yule Lads do their thing, or do you try to mount a Home Alone-style defense?
Macaulay Culkin traps. That was my first go-to as well.
Because I was thinking about this. Like, what if Meat Grabber comes in and he gets the old paint can on a string trick? The doorknob's heated up and there's a blowtorch in there. Sets his hat on fire. What's he gonna do? Is he gonna go after the milk or is he gonna leave? How bad? The thing is, you know what they're going after. You know what each one is going after on each day. You've had enough time to plan their movements or plan for their movements. So you just like put it like on a plate, on a table in the middle of the room, and the way is clear from the door to the plate, and you're like, come get it.
Do you want it to be that enticing?
I think it's a power move.
These are shit kids.
Yeah.
They know about being shitty.
Yeah.
They're going to know it's a trap.
You think they're going to see through it?
Yeah, you got to be stealthy about it.
Well, maybe like the first shit kid, you got an easy go at, and then like each consecutive shit kid, you have to get more and more creative.
I think it
depends. You can make that into a video game with levels.
It depends how confident you are in your traps. Because I think it sends a strong message if it's just like on clear display. And they come in, it's like, here it is. Like, just try it. Just try and get it. We've made it really easy for you. And then, oopsie, the floorboards are loose. And they step on it, and it hits it in the face. They do the thing with the marbles or whatever. Is that in Home Alone?
So I was going to say, if this has not been made into a Christmas special yet, it should be.
Rankin Bass.
Yeah. Like,
puppets.
Just go ahead and grab that sweet cash money, because it's making a Christmas special is an easy cash grab. Judging from the ones we watch annually.
I'll literally watch anything that's Christmas.
And kids will too. Tyler is a good test market for the child
market.
No,
I'm not, because I'm looking for the worst things that I can find that are Christmas themed, because it is so easy.
It's true. So like, just putting Christmas in the title, you got an audience, you're done. But I do think this would be a better video game format. It'd probably run a little long as a movie.
Could be a good puzzle game. Like 13
consecutive days.
13 puzzle. I don't know what the rule set for this is. Like each, or like a tactics, like Invisible Ink style tactics game, I guess. That means writing a lot of AI, which I don't want to do.
Yeah, but first level, you got to protect those sheeps. Gotta keep their milk safe.
I mean, that one's easy. It's just a pit.
you put the sheep in a pit?
You put the sheep around a pit.
Uh-huh.
You have available to you, tools-wise, the various tools that a medieval Icelandic farmer would have on hand in the wintertime.
Shovel.
At first.
Candle.
But in between levels, you get to visit the store, and they got all kinds of fun upgrades there.
You can get double-headed shovel.
Double-headed shovel. Magic. Magic shovel that shoots more shovels.
Double-barreled shovel is a good video game item. I don't know what you do with it, but I like it a lot.
What is it?
It's two shovels.
Just like shoot other shovels.
Like, is it one handle and then it splits into two shovel heads at the end? Like it bifurcates at some point?
Yeah, it could be that, or it could be like a Darth Maul shovel.
It's one shovel at each end. Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right, would you two like a little addendum to the shit kid family?
Can I ask
story?
A quick question first?
Absolutely.
I have not watched Home Alone in quite a while. Did Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern just want milk?
I seem to remember that it was mostly dairy products they were after.
They wanted
and
milk.
And instead they received
paint. They
wanted
yogurt. They wanted cheese.
I mean, the paint works on a lot of levels because it is very painful to get hit with a big paint can in your big head.
for just a moment.
But also, the pain is kind of a cruel facsimile.
Right.
Of, like, the yogurts that you crave.
Like, just for a moment, you think, is that milk about to be poured on me? And you open your mouth wide.
And it's not. It's pain.
Joe Pesci's still around, right?
I believe Joe Pesci is alive.
Is he still working?
I don't know about that.
Do we have enough Patreon funds to get him to record an MP3 of him shouting ogre milk that I can use as a ringtone?
I mean, hit him up. Let's see if he's on. See if he's on Twitter.
Check LinkedIn.
check LinkedIn. See if he's available for ringtone gigs.
Just at him on Twitter, like, "Hey, Joe Pesci, what would it take to get you to do an MP3 of you shouting ogre milk?"
Joe Pesci, this is going to be bigger than Crazy Frog, bro.
Like you want it, though.
This is your next big hit.
All right. So, also suggested by Heather, also an Icelandic Yule tradition.
Mm-hmm.
The Yule cat.
Is this a different faction from the Shit Kids? Or related?
The Shit Kids poem relates it to them. So, the Yule cat... And the Shit Kids' parents...
Part of the Shit Kids' family.
Yeah. So the Shit Kids' parents live with the Yule Cat, mm-hmm. and presumably also the Shit Kids.
And it is a panther.
It is a giant domesticated house cat. It is cricket enlarged.
It's a giant Christmas panther.
It's a giant Christmas cricket who hungers not for chicken, but for children.
But for justice.
And justice. Yes, okay. I see where you were going with that. All right, so this one is also a poem by the same fellow. It's sourced from web.archive.org. The oldest written source of the Yule Cat myth is from the 19th century. This particular poem was translated by Vignir Johnson, who has a written apology for not bothering to make it rhyme.
Because I'm sorry, I just couldn't be asked to do it.
I didn't know that poems came with patch notes.
Because he's not much of a poet. And Vignir, I feel you. I appreciate it. I also did not make it rhyme. So this one might be a more accurate literal translation.
Couldn't it just be not a poem then? Why did it have to be a poem?
The original was a poem, so I guess he just direct translated the lines and kept them in the same format.
Oh, I see.
So, who knows what kind of bullshit shenanigans were pulled to make that other poem rhyme. This one's going to be pure, fresh from the source. Straight from Icelandic to English. Alright. Yule Cat is huge.
Yup.
Yeah.
People don't know where he came from or where he went. He had huge, glaring, and glowing eyes. He had whiskers as sharp as bristles. He had an arched back and terrible paws. During Yule time, he roams hungry and evil in the freezing Yule snow, making people shudder at his very name. Yule Cat.
It sounds like Iceland has Pokemon in it.
Sure does.
Are we sure it doesn't?
This sounds like the Jabberwocky.
Has anyone checked?
I think the Icelandic name for Yule Cat is similar to Jabberwocky, but it was written on the side in an image, so I wasn't able to copy paste it. If one heard a pitiful meow, something evil would happen soon.
Agreed.
We know that from our very own Yule Cat experience in this apartment. Everybody knew he hunted men, but didn't care for mice. A good Christmas horror story.
So this is Fievel's Christmas.
Yeah.
They tell stories about how great the Yule Cat is because it fucks up the humans. Makes more room for the mice.
The Yule Cat picked on the poor that didn't get new clothes for Yule. Those who toiled and lived in dire need, he'd take their whole Yule dinner and eat it for himself. That sounds like a regular cat. Cricket stole my peanut butter and jelly sandwich one day. So women would sit at the spinning wheel throughout the season, making thread for at least a new sock. Just anything.
Just one
sock to protect the kids. Because
maybe next year we'll get another one.
Because children rely entirely on grown-ups for new clothes. They have not unlocked sock level yet in their personal growth. So long as they get something new that was needed, it didn't really matter what it was, new and wearable, he would just give an awful hiss and move on.
Your house stinks of new.
Yes. Shit.
fuck, that's a dope sock. Damn it. I wanted that fucking dinner. Man, those kicks.
Need those fresh ass kicks.
Those fresh socks, you little fucker.
Fresh, got those Jordans.
God, I gotta check the next fucking house now.
There's socks all around.
Those Jordan signatures.
Someone bought a multi-pack of Hanes and just kept walking them around.
Hanes, the high life. The ritziest of all socks.
Fruit of the loom.
Anything that comes in a big old pack. Just like stuffed together in plastic.
You just like skip through the neighborhood throwing new socks at each door.
I do like a very big cat muttering to itself about how fucking cool those socks were. As it wanders down the road to the next house.
More evidence that Cricket is a Yule Cat is her supreme fascination with people's shoes and socks.
She's checking them for newness.
Yeah, she likes to shove her face in them.
Cricket is the baby form of a Yule Cat. She hasn't evolved yet.
Maybe because our shoes are older, and she seems to like smellier socks, maybe the newness of them is actually a repellent. They want that old and stinky cheese foot sock.
The old stank is a lure.
Right.
I see.
So the best way to prevent his visit is to make sure that everybody in the area gets new clothes. So make sure to think about those in need and bring them something new too so they don't get eaten by the Yule Cat. And so like herd immunity is what we're going for, sure. Basically.
But for feet.
Yes. Yeah, so vaccinate with socks, keep the Yule Cat away this holiday season.
What does it say about the human race that, like, just doing a good thing for someone who needs, like, a leg up is not enough at Christmas time? You need to not feel guilty that they got murdered by a big cat.
Yeah, you need to
threaten. Not from the kindness of your heart. You just don't want the guilt of a cat murder. At Christmas time.
I mean, who wants that hanging over their head?
I don't even know if it's guilt. You just don't want the cat around.
Yeah.
Also that.
You don't want to be nearby when the cat does the murder.
You don't want to hear that noise. You're already dealing with the door slammer kid.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it's too. A less interesting story if it's just, hey, your neighbor needs some socks. Maybe help him out.
Like, maybe, hey, your neighbor needs some socks. It's going to bring that cat to this neighborhood.
We need to invent a malicious cat to get you off your ass and sympathize with someone.
Whatever works.
All right. So do you want some actual historical background on Yule Cat?
Sure. So, it's a panther. I know that.
Yeah. Seeking clothes justice.
Right.
Fashion police. So.
Clothes justice. Okay. Yeah.
Make sure you're shopping at the Gap or whatever sponsorship has currently bought out the Yule Cat this year.
Is it just trying to queer eye some people?
So there's some concern that the tradition of the Yule Cat preys on the poor.
Yeah.
But apparently this was originally based on a system where like every effort was made to finish the work with the autumn wool. So like spinning all of the wool and turning it into shit before Yule time. And everyone who met their quota was given free clothes, like a new outfit or new something, new piece of clothing. But the people who were lazy and didn't participate in the wool gathering received nothing. So it was more an incentive to work harder. So employers, take this into account.
Or don't.
I mean, absolutely don't. The current workplace culture in at least the U.S., but I think also permeating into other countries, Japan for sure. I think France also has a little bit of like workplace issues where it's like culture is stay longer equals better regardless of actual work getting done.
Yeah.
Yeah, so don't do that. You guys are shitty enough. But if you're going to be shitty, maybe get creative with it. Maybe scare people with a cat.
What the people want is unions, and what they're going to get is a giant cat that eats their fucking feet.
Keep those laborers in line. We should have unions, though, for real.
Yeah, absolutely, we should. So the Yule Cat belongs to Gryla and the lazy dude, Lepaludi or whatever. As a result of some poetry, either these or ones written in the 17th century, depending on whether you check Smithsonian Magazine or Wikipedia, But Gryla dates back at least to the 13th century and potentially to the 11th century and has no direct link to the Yule Lads or the Yule Holiday or the Yule Cat. And
just kind of got roped in.
Yeah, in her original form. There were some like old 13th century poems that describe her as having 15 tails or 40 tails, depending on the poem. So she's got an excess of tails, regardless of the actual count. Somewhere between 15 and 40 tails. She carries a bag on her back. She has a sword or a knife in her hand.
Yeah.
She uses this to carve out the stomachs of children who cry for meat during Lent.
Oh, no. No, don't do that.
Sure.
Yeah, so she's a creepy Christmas witch. She's got the Krampus on lock. Like, he can go suck it. She's got this down, the horror times.
Is it a tummy check for meat?
Just to see if there's any in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what treasures you got in that tummy? Let's see them.
So as she's evolved through the years, she has become kind of a dark Santa figure.
Yeah.
Kind of, she tallies the naughtiness done during the year, so you do need to behave throughout the year, but she does come at Yule specifically, so.
Which is Christmas.
Right. So she'll take her little, like, black book of naughtiness and go collect children in sacks to put in her favorite stew, just a special once a year treat.
Bring them to Yarhagul.
Fun also fact, Lepaluni is her third husband.
Huh.
I think she killed the other ones.
Was one of them the ogre who she keeps in for captivity
milk.
Now?
Yeah, she divorced him for milk.
Kept the milk in the divorce.
Right, that was part of the custody arrangement or whatever. Yeah, and then eventually she got saddled with 13 kids and a cat. but she'll, like, go down with them and do her dark times.
Do her dark deeds.
Some efforts were made to stop scaring people with her, but she is a very powerful figure. So she has refused all erasure, and apparently I'm not an Icelandic child nor an Icelandic parent, so I can't completely verify this, but apparently children on Iceland are still legit scared of her.
And now the rest of the world can be too.
Yep.
You're welcome.
So suck it, Krampus. Gryla's the coolest. Get you a knife witch for Christmas.
Yeah, knife is worse than whip.
Yeah, absolutely. Knife is worse than whip.
I would say.
I feel like this would be the tradition the Church of the Knife would follow. Like, of the holiday traditions, they would threaten a knife witch if you didn't behave. But also as an incentive to practice your own knife skills, which children are taught at an early age.
Right. If in defense.
Right.
In case you need to knife battle bad Santa.
Speaking of the Church of the Knife, I do want to thank Tally for sending us the book, Not One Damsel in Distress. This was collected by Jane Yolen with illustrations by Susan Guevara. This is basically what I would expect to find in the Church of the Knife Sunday School as a fun guide for kids. I also want to thank Sarah for sending us the Doctor to the Dead, Grotesque Legends and Folktales of Old Charleston, including bookmarked notes and one translation of a particularly heavily dialected story. So thank you for that. And thank you to Trisha for our really cool card from the Alternate Histories from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania greeting card there. And the wonderful note. Sorry about the strange associations in your brain. Not really.
The P.O. box limps along.
Slowly through long lines do I receive the packages. So thank you all for that.
Thank you.
May Gryla the Knife Witch of Christmas times leave your home alone this year.
Leave your tummies alone.
And may the Yule Cat really appreciate your sweet new getup.
Is that it?
That's it for the Icelandic Yule traditions.
I don't think there's much to tie up this time. That's just all stuff that we know now.
Yeah. It's just information I have access to.
You're welcome for the knowledge. Well, thank you, Heather, for pointing us in the direction of these Yule traditions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, a sexy dragon-born dad. Yes? Mm-hmm. Yes. For sponsoring this episode.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you to all of our patrons for helping keep this show running.
Such as?
Gordy was all ready to go before you.
Yeah, thank you
to everybody who has been tweeting about the show, like Zane and Linda Burt and Laddie Pexy. I'm not quite sure how to say your name. Sorry if that's wrong. But thank you for tweeting about us and for saying that we are in your top five podcast for the year alongside My Brother, and Me, which is, you gotta switch those around at least. Bim Bam should be higher than us.
Probably,
but
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You can tweet about the show using the WT Folklore hashtag. That helps us a lot. If you like the show, please share it with somebody. We grow principally by word of mouth.
Just slide us into some DMs.
Slide us into someone, to a famous person's DMs.
Yeah.
Like Dakota Fanning.
I'm sure she would give any shits about this.
Tell her we talk a lot about feet. She'll probably be into that.
Ask
Joe Pesci about his ogre milk potentials.
Surely Joe Pesci has open DM.
I don't even think Joe Pesci's on Twitter. I didn't find him.
I appreciate the check, though.
Thank you also to our top-tier patrons, Sarah, Maya, Robert, The Day Dude, Pyrus, Monkey King, Tally, Sarah, Grace, MC Atnip, Jeremiah, Whisper Biscuit, 5 months late with Starbucks. I don't know what that means. Haley, It's a Crazy Fluke, Tim's gonna get nuked on this jolly holiday. Don't know what that means.
It's just Christmas time at Ground Zero,
I guess. Dom, Justin, Lily, Jenna, Jen, and Heather.
Thank you, top tier patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you.
Thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you,
The Neon.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, St. Thorax.
Thank you, St.
Thorax.
Thank you, Shit Kids.
Thank you, Shit Kids.
No, thank you, Shit Kids.
Thank you, one Shit Kid. You decide.
Thank you, Joe Pesci.
Thank you, Joe Pesci. Always.
Thank you, Ogre Milk.
Thank you, Ogre Milk.
Thank you, Knife Witch.
Thank you,
Knife Witch.
We're What the Folklore. That's how it works.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.